CBS News Brief. Efforts to patch things up underway after the epic bromance between President Trump and Elon Musk imploded. CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
President Trump threatened to cut billions of dollars in contracts and subsidies to Musk's companies, prompting Musk to threaten to decommission his Dragon spacecraft. Musk later walked it back.
Musk suggested Mr. Trump is listed in Jeffrey Epstein's files and needs to be impeached. Kyiv's mayor says Russian drone and missile strikes have killed at least four people. The BBC's Paul Adams in Ukraine's capital.
Over the course of several hours, we heard a number of large explosions and the regular rattle of machine gun fire as the city's air defenses tried to shoot down drones.
Massachusetts teenager Marcelo Gomez da Silva has been released days after he was arrested by ICE agents on his way to volleyball practice.
I don't want to cry, but I want to say that police, it's not good. It's not good.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Her as Sloane Peterson from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yahoo Entertainment reports she was back on the red carpet at the premiere of The Life of Chuck, a sci-fi fantasy based on a Stephen King novel. Sarah was last seen on the big screen in 2011 in Dorothy and the Witches of Oz. Sarah says she is not officially out of retirement, but will always work if director Mike Flanagan asks her. I feel the same way. Here is some cool news on the heels of a really good documentary about Sly and the Family Stone. The Hulu documentary Sly Lives was insightful and a really fun watch. Now, 60 years after a concert recording, a new album will be released. According to Variety, the first family, live at Winchester Cathedral, 1967, will be released this summer. The band's manager put the recordings in a vault shortly after the show decades ago. They were discovered in 2002. The new old material will be released July 18th on High Moon Records. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
bad stretch of weather coming our way for the weekend. Welcome to a Friday, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I'm happy to deliver the weather forecast in front of me. Today looks like a very nice day. Should see sunny skies, high temperatures today around 76 with calm winds. Tomorrow, just a 20% chance of rain probably after 4 o'clock. Otherwise, a partly sunny Saturday, 75 are expected high. Sunday, the odds of rain get a little bit better, but we'll still see sunshine. Highs on Sunday, around 74. I'll let Stu Muck paint the rest of the weather forecast for you into a picture. He joins us in about 15 minutes. I kind of like the rundown we've got for you on a finally Friday morning. We are going to take a look at the dairy tradition that will again continue around the state of Wisconsin. Saturday, we've got cows on the concourse, the Iowa County, Rock County, Sauk County, Breakfast on the Farm, to name just a few. And all of these events come with determined volunteers that want you to enjoy yourself. Stephanie Hoff's got a really cool story about how one dairy breakfast originated with a couple that's still sticking to it today. Stick around for that. And we're also talking this morning about dedication in our young people. Those young people involved in Wisconsin agriculture, the rural lifestyle, it can take them to the international scene. Charity Seebecker caught up with a Trempealeau County gal that is dedicated to her dog, and that's turned into international opportunity. All that on the way.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're keeping an eye on what's got your attention. If you missed a good story, don't worry, we've got you covered. Here are the top five stories you listened to this week.
Number five, B20 Club, a blueprint for other states to advance biodiesel.
Number four, tips for a lush lawn.
Number three, dairy industry vet vouches for university research.
At number two, First Generation Dairy Farm hosts the Iowa County Dairy Breakfast.
And your number one most listened to story for this week, they hosted the First Green County Dairy Breakfast.
Stay tuned for more of the stories that matter to you right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Now that it's May, it's about time for all the seniors, whether that be high school or college, to start graduating. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And a big question for a lot of these graduates may be, where are the jobs in the agriculture industry? Tammy Jensen, the president of AgriCareers Recruiting Service, is here to give some tips for these graduating students on how to conduct their job search, as well as a look into where the greatest need is for workers within the agriculture industry.
I would say within the ag industry, the last 12 to 18 months, I have actually seen unemployment probably be higher in ag industry than it typically has been. But that is more for your, I've seen it in the seed and chemical companies, equipment manufacturers. There's quite a few rifts in that arena. But there is still demand in the service side of it, whether it be like maintenance, or equipment, agronomy, hands-on farm positions where, you know, it's physical labor, caring for the animals or planting the crops. Those jobs are still plentiful, I think.
And if you talk to some of these places, those fertilizer places, the mechanics and those kind of places, why are they thinking that there is such a shortage of labor for these jobs?
They think it's an unglamorous job, possibly. They want to be more involved in a sales role or management. But like anywhere else, I think the place to be in employment right now are service, you know, whether it's, like I said, the retail agronomy, whether it's working as a starting out as a technician and implement dealership. If you have the training and skills, you can advance quickly in that industry. Or, you know, outside of ag, like electricians, those types of things are also, it's that service repair work where we're always going to need them.
If we look at where more jobs are needed, say between livestock and dairy or row crop, where are you trying to fit in the most pieces with that? Is there one side that is in a much greater need than the other, or what are you seeing?
For me personally, I've seen more recently probably in crops, but the livestock, there's typically a constant demand. It may not be right where you're living. That's another thing I would tell people is it's a big world. Be willing to relocate. I do think oftentimes, particularly on the livestock side, for example, a swine or dairy operation where they have very specific standard operating procedures and such, they often have very good training programs that you probably would, there's a good chance that there might be opportunities just to train you from the ground up. And that can turn into a very good career long term. Absolutely.
And for these jobs, since there's labor shortage, are through your work, are you seeing these companies and these farmers and people willing to pay more in order to get this help they need? Or is it, or are the margins so tight that it's kind of staying at the same offer for money and they're just hoping someone is willing to take the chance on it and have the opportunity to move up?
I would say they're definitely paying more than they were 10 years ago. Salaries, I mean, have gone up a lot for agriculture. They probably still lag behind some other industries, but they definitely are paying better. Oftentimes, especially if they have no experience, it may require them to prove themselves first. And from an employee perspective, you know, if they make you an offer, maybe counter with, you know, once I've proven myself, you know, whether it be in 6 months, you know, can we do a salary review? Can you, you know, lay out what I need to accomplish in order to earn more? Those types of things.
Well, I'm sure helping people find jobs within that agriculture community and while helping farmers and these businesses find workers. If you're talking to, say, a new someone that just graduated high school or college, what are you telling them? I know you're mentioning maybe it would be beneficial to take that kind of more labor, lower end job because, one, it gets you the experience, and two, it might provide opportunities to move up. Is that kind of like what you're telling them?
Yeah, I would say what I see right now is be willing to get your hands dirty. You know, be willing to go in and prove yourself before moving up into sales and management. I had an individual, this has been years ago, he was graduating college, and I placed him as a custom applicator with a retail agronomy facility. And within 6 months, he had moved up to a branch manager role. Now, probably coming right out of high school, that would not happen in 6 months, but you probably would be able to take on additional responsibilities. You know, they might even help with schooling if you wanted to take some classes in agronomy or something of that nature. Just be willing to prove yourself, work hard, put in the extra effort, ask what you can do to help. And that's across the board, whether it's working on a farm or in a retail agronomy or whatever industry you're, you know, branch of agriculture you're working in.
Well, and even for students that are just now coming out of college that might not be ag related or have much experience with agriculture, what are there a lot of opportunities for them within this agriculture field to be able to, I mean, learn and get a start in the real world here?
If they have an ag background, you know, if they grew up on a farm or spent a lot of time helping the neighbors, whatever, it can be very difficult to get into agriculture if you don't have any ag experience. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's challenging.
And if some students are listening and they are currently in college and or high school and they're have like a year left, but they aren't wanting, or like say they're in high school, they're not wanting to go to college after, or they're junior in college still trying to figure it out, what can you tell them to help make sure they are able to find the right fit as they come out of school?
One thing I would tell them is to be sure and get involved in the FFA program while in school, because that will open up some doors probably as far as networking. I would also you know, whether you have any experience or try to get some type of experience, even if it's just, you know, very short term, trying to, you know, being around equipment or what, maybe it's working in a greenhouse, or maybe, you know, you go down and help at the elevator unload grain in the fall, you know, try to shadow or learn just a little bit about it so you have something that you can demonstrate you've done.
Well, and obviously on the crop side especially, there's a lot of seasonal work that needs to be done, right. And they might only be able to offer part-time. How do you go about placing someone into that? And is this something someone straight out of college should be looking into if they just want to get a foot in the door and just start to make connections just by doing some seasonal work first?
Well, if I was in college and I wanted to work on a farm, a crop farm, I would try to go to work for a farmer while in college. A lot of farms in the around a college, an ag college, hire students to help them like in the spring and the fall. So that would be a great place to get that experience. But I would, following college, I would definitely try to find a full-time job. There are, particularly your larger farms will have, you know, they'll have you, I mean, after planting, it's spring, then you're maintaining equipment and getting it ready for harvest. And typically they will have full-time roles.
Jensen also says that she recommends using all the resources you can to help you find the job, whether that be a recruiting agency or just going to career fairs or using connections of friends and family. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the Chef of Love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
Zoo starting tomorrow morning. The Midwest Farm Report team's going to be at the Mallards game tomorrow night. We've got the American Family Golf outing that's getting underway here in Madison. What say ye about the rain?
I think Saturday really looks pretty good. I'd kind of agree with Rocky. It smells like rain, but there's nothing threatening in that Fond du Lac, eastern Wisconsin area. There are very scattered showers around. I did find some rainfall reports. Now, you may not have seen it, but the airport at La Crosse says 0.06 of an inch, and Boston reporting 0.01 of an inch. Nobody else weighed in yet this morning, although the radar indicates there is some rain. Stevens Point up to the Wausau area, and I'd say just about north of Appleton up into Shawano, all the way up toward Antigo, there's that little band of very light rain. There's more rain up over Lake Superior into central Minnesota as well today. It all shapes up as mild, moist air continues to push up out of the south, and a very weak front has dropped into northern Minnesota. That front's really not going to hold together that well and drop into Wisconsin. So, yes, there will be some chances of rain, especially in western and northern Wisconsin as we move toward late today or this evening, and maybe in those same areas late Saturday or Saturday evening. But if you're in the south and eastern part of the state, not much of a rain threat at all today, tomorrow either. It's finally into Sunday. I think we all see rain in Wisconsin when a more organized, call it kind of a sweeping cool front, builds in out of the northwest. And that one's going to lead to more rain. And in fact, almost anywhere in Wisconsin, I'd say Sunday, somewhere up to near a tenth or a quarter of an inch. There may be some half inch amounts. I think Monday we'll talk about rain that measured up as we wrapped up the weekend. With all that being said and done, the air quality alert still in effect all along the far eastern edge of Wisconsin, all the way from northeast Illinois, right up through Wisconsin, and even up into that northeastern part of the state on the other side of Green Bay. The air quality alert in effect until noon today, and I'm sure other places will still tell that there's still some smoke kind of hanging around in the atmosphere. I'll have that forecast right after this. Rural Mutual Assurance,
keeping Wisconsin strong. If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers. Rural Mutual
Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong. Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All righty, Stu, paint me a picture, baby. Try to get past some of this smoke later this weekend, maybe?
I think so. Keep your fingers crossed on that, I guess. But our Compeer Financial Ag weather update, including that air quality alert in the east. Today, more partly sunny skies, scattered sprinkly showers in the western and northern parts of the state for a time today. I still expect we all see at least a low 70 in the far northwest, mid or upper 70s elsewhere, and the winds become north a bit later, about 5. Partly cloudy overnight, a slight rain chance north, and we all fall into the lower 50s, maybe an upper 40 way up north with an east breeze. Tomorrow, call it partly sunny, but that shower chance again west and north as we head toward midday or afternoon in the south to stay a little drier, and still talk about low and mid 70s, maybe an upper 60 in the north. And I'd say Sunday then, Pam's the day we all could see some rain. Call it partly cloudy, even more clouds in the north, and temps that are going to still try to be in the low to mid 70s at best. But I'd say moisture, and we'll talk about rain amounts come Monday, a couple of tenths of an inch.
Yeah, and we got to keep building on those degree growing units too. I mean, the heat is now suddenly noticeably absent.
Yeah, and we stay a little cool yet, at least to get next week started. But as we head to the FFA convention, it starts warming up.
Oh, figures. Okay, man. Have a good weekend. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Check out their resources all online, compeer.com. We're talking about June dairy history on a Friday morning. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a conversation from a recent episode of the Busted Pencils podcast, talking about how AI or artificial intelligence is being utilized in rural classrooms.
I mean, really, I think it was reading so many of these books, like educational, like more theory-based books. It's like we had to put theory into action. So it was kind of like a happen chance where we stumbled across, you know, Khan Academy with their Khanmigo, like their AI tutor bot. There's a lot more like technology sources, like embedding AI into them. So we started to look at what would be the capabilities of a classroom if we let some of the tier one instruction be turned over to AI. So where students are actually receiving learning. I mean, as adults, if I want to learn how to change a faucet, I go and watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Kids, this generation of kids, they want to learn via technology. They want to learn via videos. And so, I mean, I think it was just like this perfect storm of like students being disengaged, you know, I was an instructional coach and associate principal. I've sat through my fair share of lessons that I, as the adult, was bored. So it's like all these problems of practice that we were trying to like find a way to solve. And it's like, well, we have something right in our hands. And so what would it look like if we could turn over some of that tier one instruction to a tutor bot or to personalized learning via an online platform and let the teachers do the depth of knowledge and challenge-based learning and really bringing in those real-world connections.
Tell us, you know, rural Wisconsin. So this is happening then in rural Wisconsin.
It's happening. I mean, we have schools that are, I mean, we started off as like a little pilot and now it's like, I feel like every day it's like, what's going on? Like, what is going on? And in this idea of rethinking or rebuilding like public education, I think each district that we work with kind of faces their own problem of practice. We have a district that couldn't really hire a physics teacher. So how can they take a teacher that has no physics background and use AI to truly help teach the kids? We have districts who are like, you know what? No, we're going to teach math, science, ELA, all the content. We're going to teach that and we're going to reduce that time down so the kids get it all.
You've been listening to a portion of the Busted Pencils podcast. To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to our website, civicmedia.us/shows.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did, went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
there's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matinair on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy?
And one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles, you know, that takes a lot of those dollars away from the farmers, because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmer.
Catch Matinair on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why it's the first round pick. They'll
You know, in Wisconsin, we do June Dairy Month like no other states around us. We're estimating more than 50 plus June Dairy events that will happen just in this month alone. Average attendance probably between 3,000 and 4,000 people, but it takes an awful lot of coordination. Think about the muddy fields. Where are the volunteers? Another blown breaker. still, we persevere. We have a great time. We love coming together as community. Stephanie Hoff's got a cool story about a farm family that was dedicated to a June Dairy event decades ago, and they remain committed to bringing folks out to the farm. She's got that on the way. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 6th day of June. A couple little tidbits you might want to share with somebody today. On this day back in 1930, frozen food was sold for the very first time at a retail store. 18 stores in Springfield, Massachusetts were part of a consumer test trial. Pretty well accepted. And that was good news for Clarence Birdseye, the founder of the Birdseye Food Frozen Company. He started it and is considered the father of the modern frozen food industry. Started on this day back in 1930. On this day in 1944, 160,000 Allied soldiers landed in Normandy, France. The World War II invasion of Normandy established a new major front against the Germans. That was on this day back in 1944, D-Day. On this day in 1946, the National Basketball Association is founded. And on this day in 1984, the video game Tetris is published. And now you know. Hey, we want you to know a young lady in Trempealeau County is going to be seeing the world thanks in part to her partnership with her pooch. Charity Seebecker joins us now.
Trempealeau County's Addison Connolly has been working hard behind the scenes to turn a childhood interest into an international opportunity. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Addison's dedication, drive, and deep bond with her dog have led her to one of the biggest moments of her young career, earning a spot on Team USA for the Junior Open Agility World Championship in Portugal. She shares her journey of how she got to this point.
So when I was really young, I just kind of came to the fair, saw it, and I started with like showing dairy as a clover bud. And then once I got old enough, we started showing some goats, and then I got into dogs because I had a V at the time that I wanted to do some training on, and I thought the dog project looked really fun.
Tell me about your dog, Cooper. What breed is he? What makes Cooper such a great agility partner for you?
So Cooper is a 24-inch tall black and white border collie. He is just the most loyal and once-in-a-lifetime kind of dog. I mean, he is just completely locked in and is just an extremely special dog, and we've kind of been able to see that since he was a puppy, with just being super easygoing and, you know, having the drive to do agility or whatever I ask.
And so what does a typical training session look like then for you and Cooper? What's maybe the most challenging part of competing in agility? Kind of take me through how you even prepare for this.
We really start by looking at like our last shows or practices, at like what things went well and what didn't and what we need to work on. So it's a lot of just like little things going into a full course. We usually don't practice with full courses. And then when we have the chance, we run courses, and then just kind of working through little things, just trying to build up and be the best we can. And then just like a lot of small little practices, building up endurance and just fixing little things in my handling and like getting him kind of muscled up and strengthened with different drills and stuff.
And for those who maybe aren't as familiar with dog agility, you mentioned a course. So what does that course entail? Or what type of obstacles is he having to do? Kind of what does that look like?
So at my level, there are two different types of courses. So the main would be a standard course that has the three different big contact obstacles, the dog walk, A-frame, and teeter. And then some lower levels have the table. Then there's jumps, weaves, and the weaves will either be 6 or 12 poles long. And then there will be some tunnels out on the course.
And when you're training with Cooper, do you have certain key words or things that you say to him to help that he knows, okay, yep, now I have to jump. Now I have to go through this hoop. Now I have to do this. You know, tell me how that has been for you to kind of get those key quick words so he can be as fast as he can for you.
Yeah, we did a lot of hand in the beginning, and now he's got vocals. So I literally have a left and right cue telling him where to go. I have about 6 or 7 different cues just for the jump, so he knows where to go after it, what side to go on and stuff like that. And then just a lot of different vocal cues so he can go and do something ahead of me so I can get to the next place I need to be at, and just kind of preparing him for where he needs to go and just being ahead of him, because it's really a game of pace.
And so then what was the process like to even qualify for Team USA?
It was was a lot of going to AKC trials and getting points towards titles, because for trying out, you need two open AKC titles for each of the different types of courses. And then it was just a lot of preparing him and then putting together our video submission with the necessary components and then also things that we have that are needed for the team, and just so they can see where we're at.
And what are you most excited about for the Junior Open Agility World Championship that's coming up in Portugal for you?
I'm really excited to kind of meet new people, kind of see different sides of agility that I haven't been able to. And just kind of getting my name out there, seeing how different people run, and just kind of learning from everybody.
And when it comes to traveling with Cooper, what does that entail? What do you have to have in order to be able to fly with him?
So there has to be import and export papers kind of for both places. And then USDA health certificates, and just kind of making sure that he has all the vaccines he needs, especially rabies and everything like that.
And how many are on the team? And then you're competing as a team, so is it each individual score is added for an overall team score, or do you get individual? Kind of what does that side of the things look like?
So there are 24 people and 28 dogs. So some people have more than one dog. And then the main part of it is four-person teams at different age groups and dog heights. And then there are some individual opportunities, kind of seeing where you place out. All ends up going into a team score.
As Trempealeau County's Addison Connolly prepares to represent Team USA on the world stage, she's carrying not just her dreams, but the support of her community, her 4-H mentors, and everyone who's watched her journey unfold. For the Midwest Farmer Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're keeping an eye on what's got your attention. If you missed a good story, don't worry, we've got you covered. Here are the top five stories you listened to this week.
Number five, B20 Club, a blueprint for other states to advance biodiesel.
Number four, tips for a lush lawn.
Number three, dairy industry vet vouches for university research.
At number two, first generation dairy farm hosts the Iowa County Dairy Breakfast.
And your number one most listened to story for this week, they hosted the first Green County Dairy Breakfast.
Stay tuned for more of the stories that matter to you right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
If you haven't had a chance yet, I encourage you to go to wisconsindairy.org. Take a look at all the June dairy celebrations that are happening around the state of Wisconsin, really beginning in full force this weekend. Tomorrow, Cows on the Concourse. That's on the Capitol Square, downtown Madison. Also tomorrow, Iowa County, Sauk County, Rock County Breakfast on the Farm. They've got a breakfast that's happening in Wisconsin Dells. Again on Sunday, Richland County celebrating their June dairy tradition. And that's just a few of the events that are offered this weekend. WisconsinDairy.org can point you to the rest of them. And of course, in just moments, Stephanie Hoff taking us into the tradition, the heritage, the culture behind Wisconsin's June dairy celebrations. Stick around for that story. All right, markets on a Friday morning. So far in Chicago, a little bit mixed. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up more than 100 points, but our commodities seem to be slipping. July corn's currently down 3. December new crop down 3 at 446. July soybeans on a Friday morning down 2. November new crop down 2.5, currently at 1031. The wheat for July, that's down a nickel right now at 541. Dairy complex was a little mixed yesterday in Chicago. Barrel cheese was up 1¾ at 186. But again, remember, the barrel cheese price, not really much of an indicator anymore on our milk prices. Instead, 40-pound block cheese, that's down 1¾ yesterday at 192. AA butter also down 0.25 after a big rally this week, 255¾ per pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese trading 3 cents stronger this morning at 1867. The August milk closed 17 cents lower at 1901 a hundredweight. Listen, if you haven't checked out MidwestFarmReport.com lately or our podcast playlist, you might want to take a look about developments that are happening in Jefferson County. They are constructing a new food and beverage innovation campus, attracting food companies from around the world. Deb Reinbold is the president of Thrive, their economic development arm in Jefferson County.
Jefferson County actually is getting a lot of attention, and primarily because of our focus on food and beverage, advanced manufacturing, agribusiness, and then now we're looking and getting into biohealth and biotech. But we're seeing that the Madison and Milwaukee region is coming closer together. We call it the Madwaukee Corridor, right along I-94. And so we've been getting a lot of attention on all of that. But other investments that we've seen here, Palermo Pizzas has made an investment. Nestle Purina invested $195 million into their existing facility. They've been here, for over 100 years within the city.
Deb Reinbold from Jefferson County. She is the president of Thrive, their economic development group. She says there's about $563 million invested in their new food and beverage innovation campus, and they're looking forward to a robust future. Like I said, that's just one of the stories you can pick up at MidwestFarmReport.com, our podcast playlist. Coming up next, the tradition of June dairy events in Wisconsin goes back decades. We're going to take a closer look at the volunteers behind some of those efforts next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
In detail what it was like hosting their first county dairy breakfast from scratch 45 years ago.
Our parents, Monty and Dorothy Cheesebro, farmed on the Highway 69 north of Monroe between Monroe and Monticello. So they were right on a main highway, which was ideal for location-wise. And in 79, at our last dairy breakfast in a basement of a church, they issued a challenge and said, would any farm family here like to host it on their farm next year? And so our dad and mom put in their name, and that's how we hosted the first one. one, and it was wonderful. We met in the garage from January on until time of the breakfast, and we planned the menu. Got our, you know, we were charting new waters. We hadn't done this before. We planned on 1,000 people.
You planned on 1,000 people, but as you said, there's no blueprint to how these things go. How many people ended up coming?
Well, it was well over 2,000. So naturally, we ran out of eggs, we ran out of milk, we ran out of everything. So we called the suppliers, and they brought it all out. And what had happened previous, that night before, we had made muffins. The homemakers in the county had made muffins. And we had those stored in the shed, so they were right ready to go the next morning. And the ants got into some of them. So naturally, that cut our supply down. So before we ran out, I started calling around the county to get more donuts or more carbohydrates, whatever, for the breakfast. Yeah. So when I finally ended up, I went to Belleville, and they had a bakery at that time. And I said to her, can we buy your whatever you've got left? She said, sure. And then the other end of the line went dead, and I thought she'd hung up on me because you don't get an order like that. So the sheriff was standing right beside me. He said, Nance, I'll go get those donuts. So when he left the dooryard, he threw on his lights and he put on his siren, and away he went. That was a true donut run for a true cop.
I was wondering how you got those baked goods to the farm so fast. And yeah, it's because you had the help of the sheriff.
That's right. That's right. And the other thing that started was we planned our menu with eggs and cheese and all of the other goodies. And my dad loved ice cream and strawberries. And one of our last meetings, he said, you know, guys, that'll be about strawberry time. Why don't we say we have some ice cream and strawberries? Well, with the Egg Chest ice cream trailer, it was, you know, a marriage made in heaven. Just bought some strawberries and put it on the ice cream, and it was perfect. It's still a tradition.
I used to supply one of my milk trucks, and if the tent was that they served a meal in was away from the buildings, I'd take a load of water down and place it in the fields, you know, next to their tent that they were going to serve a meal out of. So I had quite a little involvement with that over the years, which I enjoyed doing for them. And I guess it's just been part of our life, you know. We always look forward to their breakfast on the farm.
And you were honored today. It's your 45th anniversary of hosting the first dairy breakfast in Greene County. How'd that feel?
It was very nice, and we've been treated royally. My gosh, we got all kinds of gifts and memorabilia. You know, Greene County is the best place to live in Wisconsin. We just have the best people. They're humble, they're kind, and they're generous.
As a matter of fact, I hauled bulk milk for 56 years, and I picked up milk on this farm in the late 60s. So I've always been involved with agriculture, and especially the dairying part of it.
Yeah, as Nancy said, it's come full circle. I'm curious, you know, as 45 years have gone by, there's been a lot of changes in Wisconsin agriculture. As you come to the 45th annual Dairy Breakfast, what do you notice?
Well, one of the things when we were visiting with one of the younger ladies that was attending was we were talking about the sound of a milk can lid knocking the lid off of the other milk can, and she kind of looked at us like we didn't know what we were talking about. And I said, did you ever haul milk in milk cans at your farm? No, she said, we were always bulk milk. So you can see where things have improved and
technology has changed, but certainly the tradition of dairy breakfast has not. What are some similarities you see, aside from strawberries still offered on the ice cream?
Well, I noticed that they've got all kinds of stands here, which I think is a good idea, and those are separate stands, independent ones. And that gives a chance, the people of Greene County that come to visit, and we're near the state line, so we've also picked up some of our neighbors to the south, and they can go around and see all the things that are needed when you dairy farm. You know, yeah. You go to the grocery store and you buy it, and you don't realize how much work it takes to get it to that.
So I'd like to have Nancy tell you about the coffee cakes.
Usually at a dairy breakfast, they serve, you know, pancakes, but here you get coffee cake. How did that start?
Those are homemade, and after we had the muffins for the first one, we realized that we had to deal in volume and that, you know, a little dozen here and there wasn't going to cut it. So my mom, Dorothy Cheesebrough, and Joyce Anderson, two of the best cooks in the county, put together this dairy cake. Dairy coffee cake, and it is delicious, and it's still what they come for.
We're catching up with Nancy and Bob Faith on their 45th anniversary of hosting the first Greene County Dairy Breakfast. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Thank you. Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
The Centennial Soil Archive Project in Illinois. Today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. A long time ago, 460 soil samples were taken from fields all across Illinois, and over time were sort of lost and forgotten. Soil scientist Andrew Margonaut of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
It seems like they exchanged different hands and different storage places. They used to be at one point in Davenport Hall on the main quad. Then they were put into the tunnels beneath Turner Hall. And they ended up at a dilapidated pole barn on the South Farms where we rediscovered them in 2018.
After that, says Margonaut, the Centennial Soil Archive Project was started.
This is a soil archive that was developed from the original soil sampling of the Illinois State Survey. The oldest sample we have is 1861, and the most recent samples are from 2 years ago.
Margonaut says the project intends to find and resample all of the sites in Illinois where the originals were taken more than 100 years ago.
When you hold a sample from 1861 in your hands, that's pretty mind-blowing. And we can learn a lot about our soils to help from applied to more fundamental questions on soils and their fertility for the state.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
It's our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Slamming rubber, squealing gears, a jamming local country station, just a blaring on a radio. Pick him up at 7 and they're heading to the rodeo. Mama's on the front porch screaming out her warning, girl, you better get your red head back in bed before the morning. Clock show is in, but the fun is just beginning. She knows he's anticipating, but she's gonna keep him waiting. Grab a bite to eat, and then they're heading to the honky-tonk. Loud crowds and line dancing just ain't what they really want. Drive out to the